Christmas, Hanukkah, and Yule, holidays from various faith traditions that happen around the winter solstice, are a time for joy and connection. But not always, it seems. At some point it was suggested I preach about self-care and survival during the holiday season. Some years at this time I talk about the meaning of a blue Christmas and how we cope with that. And from what I've heard from various folks, this is, at this time of year, often a concerning issue for many. It seems like there are times in our lives when grief outweighs celebration. I speak of that first holiday after someone we love has died, or perhaps a lifelong companion in the form of a beloved animal. Or this may be the first holiday spent as a broken family following a divorce. Or due to matters beyond our control, we find ourselves alone during the season when people typically gather. This is one of the big reasons why I feel that our congregation is so very important. For some folks here, others here are their chosen family. One of our major purposes for being a congregation is to be here for each other. Any little trial or tribulation from the past year can be forgiven, perhaps even forgotten, as we gather each other in the embrace of community. It is in each other's company, in each other's care, that those of us who are facing a holiday after a recent loss do not do so alone. It's while being supported by others here that one or another among us who's had some past trauma can face the day with some strength. Too many times, I think, one of us has had some negative experience with another member of our family, and rather than taking the chance of ever having to face that person again, I've seen people cut off their entire families. We forget that it may be other relatives who can be most helpful to us as we face a grief or trauma. However, even if we don't have a relative who can be so helpful, we're surrounded by chosen family in our spiritual communities who can support us and care for us during these times. Clearly, this time of year, which we often think of as a time for celebration, may not be so celebratory for some. Thinking of this, I went looking for some advice about self-care during the holidays, and I came across this nugget of wisdom from a writer named Charlene Topps. The holidays, particularly Christmas, can set us up for unrealistic expectations. It almost seems a magical time of year, and we dream of the perfect holiday. Many people struggle with depression and high anxiety over the holidays. The crisis hotlines have an increase in calls. Domestic violence rises. Not everyone you meet is having a Merry Christmas. Perhaps you are one of the ones that struggle the most. Past experiences, the loss of loved ones, the loss of a job, or financial difficulty all seem to heighten at this time of year. One of the best ways to take care of yourself during this emotionally trying time is to give up your expectations of the perfect family with the perfect tree while hosting the perfect parties with the perfect gifts. This type of thinking is extremely damaging to you, she wrote. As you relinquish these ideas, you're able to open yourself up to experiencing greater joy in the reality of the moment. Wherever you are in your life this year, take care of yourself first. Practice self-love abundantly. This is truly the only way to experience the true meaning of Christmas. Personally, I think that's good advice for any time of year. Many spiritual and self-help teachers write about living in the present moment, releasing expectations of what we think should be, and experiencing that which is. This is even more critical during the holidays, a time of year that we imbue with such importance. In the darkness of winter, our families have lit up their homes with pretty lights, feasts, and gift giving, and reunions between relatives and friends we've not seen all year. Somewhere between the Christmas tree and the candied yams, or between the menorah and the latkes, we sometimes lose something. We put so much effort into creating that perfect holiday that we lose sight of the moment of now and the needs we may have. Sometimes, simply sitting down and talking with that person we haven't seen all year is way more important than how the gifts are wrapped or if the ham is overcooked. I'd like to share a poem that is about Christmas, but it's really about cultivating a wise and simple outlook on life. Lifelong lessons are hidden within this Christmas story. It's called The Camels Speak by my colleague, Lynn Unger. From the perspective of the animals, she wrote, "Of course they never consulted us. They were wise men, kings, star readers, and we merely transportation. They simply loaded us with gifts and turned us toward the star. I ask you, what would a king know of choosing presents for a child? Had they ever even seen a baby born to such simple folks? So naked of pretension, so open to the wind? What would such a child care for perfumes and gold? Far better to have asked one born in the desert, tested by wind and sand. We saw what he would need, the gift of perseverance, of continuing on the hard way, making do with what there is, living on what you have inside. The gift of holding up under a burden, of lifting another with grace, of kneeling, to accept the weight of what you must bear. Our footsteps could have rocked him with the rhythm of the road, shown him comfort in a harsh land, the dignity of continually moving forward. But the wise men were not wise enough to ask. They simply left their trinkets and admired the rustic view. Before you knew it, we were turned toward home, carrying men only half willing to be amazed. But never mind. We saw the baby, felt him reach for the bright tassels of our gear. We desert amblers have our ways of seeing what you chatterers must miss. That child at heart knows something about following a star. Our gifts are given, have no doubt. His life will bear the print of who we are." I love the poet's use of the perspective of those who are usually voiceless, such as the camels that bore the wise men to Bethlehem. Whomever asks a camel for his advice? But if we stop to consider the example they provide, what do we see? I think that it is learning to live in the reality that is before us, accepting the weight of the burdens we must bear, and cultivating what the poet called the gift of perseverance. These are hard things to do, especially alone. That is why it's so important that we reach out to others, that we do not bear our burdens alone. That is also why it is important for us to look for others around us who may be bearing heavy burdens so that we may help them. Help ourselves and help others, and they will help us too. Compassion is a gift that is multiplied in the giving of it, becoming something greater than we would have imagined. grace and forgiveness likewise. In my favorite book about Unitarian Universalist theology, Tom Owen Tolle's Theology Ablaze, there's a chapter about joy. In that, Tom shares a story told by our colleague, Judith Walker Riggs, she's no relation to me, about a Christmas creche or nativity scene like you might see on someone's lawn. And he wrote, Judith once viewed a most unusual creche where the little carved figurines were not painted but made of different colors of wood. One of the wise men, for example, wore a gown in pale ivory that fell in curved folds around his brown feet. There was power and vitality and grace in the carving of each figure. The creche was from Africa. More than that, the woods were not mahogany or rosewood, as you might think at a glance, for these figures were carved from thorns, big thorns from the Igun tree in Nigeria. They were big thorns, very wide at the base, but sharply narrowing, and they grew in three colors used in the creche. Judith relates how strange and beautiful to have carved something out of thorns for a holiday that's the epitome of coziness. Perhaps the thorn is the death of a loved one, and this may be our first holiday without her. Or the thorn is someone having moved away, or we've moved away from him. A severed relationship or a new illness diagnosis. All of these and countless other conditions can represent deadly thorns. In their presence, Christmas will no longer be simply a matter of continuing family customs per usual. A new Christmas must be carved from life's thorns. Indeed, that's likely the goal of most here, finding some way to turn the thorns in our lives into something beautiful. As the first step to do so, I'd like to encourage folks here to be generous with your hearts. Reach out to others here who may otherwise be alone at this time of year. I've tried to convey the relational nature of our needs that, and especially at this time of year, supporting each other helps others and ourselves equally. The magic is in the relationship. So celebrate the friendship in the holidays together. Share good food and company. Help to brighten another's day, and your day will also be golden. Be charitable as well, giving in some way, and I don't really mean money, although it could be that too. More importantly, give of your compassion, or as in the story, Ralph Waldo Emerson told his daughter that he needed to give of himself. Give of yourself and help others who may be in need. Practice love and grace and forgiveness. Not a one of us is perfect, and yet we all deserve to be cared about. And if one among us is erred, now's a very good time to practice forgiveness. Finally, if you yourself are one that is going to be alone or in need, I encourage you to reach out. I know that it is difficult. I also know that it's easy to think that others don't care. But they do. They do. I encourage you to take that risk, reaching out to others here, because I truly believe that others here will respond with love and care. Do not allow yourself to be alone during this time of year. Share of yourself, because there are others here who wish that of you and wish to do the same in kind. That is, I believe, the real reason for the season. And may it ever be so. And blessed be you all.